I'd like to say good morning
to each and every person. It's a privilege to be with you. We call your attention to the book of Psalms 119, 97 through 104. Psalm 119, 97 through 104. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. From these verses we recognize and appreciate the love that David had for truth. The statutes, the commandments, the judgments, the word of God. And if we're going to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, we need to create and maintain a love for the truth. And this morning we want to consider that idea as our subject, creating a love for the truth. If we have the proper regards for truth, then whatever the Bible says won't be almost it. That will be it. If we have a proper regard for truth, then whatever the Bible says will be elevated above our feelings, our opinions, doctrines, or commandments of men, or what is embraced by the majority. If we have a proper regard for truth, a proper love for truth, then whatever truth says is what we must do to please God and to show our love for him. For Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So many times people talk about, oh, how I love the word of God. But is it that we love that which we already believe or already agree with? Or do we love it because God's precepts are to guide us and direct us, and to help us to be what he wants us to be? What is truth? Truth is that which is opposed to falsehood. Truth consists of statements or propositions that are factual and that are correct. Truth is information that has been proven to be accurate, trustworthy, consistent with God's will. And thus, we need to appreciate and love the truth. To create a love for the truth, the first requirement is is to be willing to hear the truth. Be willing to hear the truth. Turn with me to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew chapter 13. And we want to begin with verse number 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. If we are willing to hear the truth, then it means that we have an open mind. That whatever the Bible says, we are listening. We are attentive. We are open to the truth, because the truth is the word of God. And therefore, I don't have a locked mind, a closed mind. I don't have a wall up. I'm open to truth. And therefore, be willing to hear. If our ears are closed to truth, then whatever benefit can be obtained will be missed. And so it is the hearer's responsibility to be willing to hear. Jesus said that I speak in parables because there are some people who have ears to hear, but they won't hear. They choose not to hear. They have eyes to see, but they cannot see. They will not see. They have a heart that can be converted, but their hearts are hardened. And Isaiah had prophesied that my people, they have ears, but they will not hear. They have eyes, but they will not see. They will not be converted, and so I can't heal them. So if I'm not willing to hear truth, then even God can't reach us. So to love the truth is to be willing to hear the truth. Also, it means to be willing to learn, that I'm open to instruction, that whatever the truth says, whatever God says in his word, it is for me. It is for my benefit. It can be of help to me. So I need to be like a pitcher that is empty before a flowing fountain. I need to be receptive. And Jesus says in verse 15, For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Jesus says that you and I need to have eyes that we are willing to open, ears that we would allow to hear, and a heart that's open to be transformed to be what God wants us to be.
And thus we are blessed when we choose to see, when we choose to hear, and when we choose to allow God through his word to form us and shape us and to make us into what he wants us to be. In Galatians 4 and verse 16, Paul said to those at Galatia, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And so those whose eyes are closed, ears are closed, hearts are hardened, they become enemies of truth. But those who have an open heart, open eyes, open ears, then they accept truth and are benefited thereby. Notice verse 17. "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." We are blessed beyond compare when an opportunity is presented to us to hear truth. So many people have lived and died and did not hear truth. And yet when we are in the presence of truth, our eyes need to be open. Our ears need to be open. Our hearts need to be open so that the truth can be of benefit to us, creating a love for the truth. How are your ears? Are we dull of hearing? Or are our ears open to the truth? Secondly, if we're going to create a love for the truth, not only must we be willing to hear the truth, we must also be willing to examine the truth. The truth must be examined. Sometimes people hear truth and it goes in one ear and out the other without scrutiny, without examination, without consideration. They say, "It was nice, I heard it, but that's not enough." When we are willing to hear it, we have to secondly be willing to examine what the truth says. Notice what the Bible says in verse 18. "Hear ye therefore a parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." When it comes to examining the truth, the Bible is the truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Whenever we are hearing the truth, whenever we are examining the truth, we need to recognize it is God's word. It is not a magazine. It is not the newspaper. It is not a cookbook. It's the word of God. It's truth. And thus it must be examined like no other literature that can pass across our eyes. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verses 1 through 4, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." The word of God must be taught at all times.
And how we hear determines the effect that the word of God will have upon us. It needs to be examined and scrutinized as the word of God because of the benefit that it has. The Bible is God's word to all people. Every person alive is amenable unto the word of God. It is for us. It applies to us and to everybody alike. There are some things you can choose not to submit to. There are certain magazines may not be of interest to you. You may not subscribe to it. You may not want to read it. And it may have nothing to do with your life whatsoever, and you won't even be judged by it. That's not the case with the Bible. Every human being is addressed by the Bible. And every accountable person will be judged according to it. And so we can't just casually look at the Bible as just a good book. It is a book from God to man, and it applies to every person. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." God the Father has delegated to his Son Jesus all authority in religious matters. And every person from every nation is obligated to hear Jesus. The apostles that he sent out were authorized to preach and to write scripture. And those scriptures are to be taught to every person until the world come to an end. And thus, it is important that we examine the word of God. The truth must be examined because you can't be saved without it. Jesus said in John 5, 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." Jesus says when you search and examine the scriptures, you can find eternal life, because that's where you find Jesus. You find his word, which directs us. The truth needs to be examined. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, 1 John 4 and verse 1, John says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." You and I cannot be just like baby birds that just swallow whatever is dropped into our mouths. The truth must be examined. It's not enough just to be religious. It's not enough that you're just somebody to talk about the word of God. We must examine what is said and what is taught. Check it by the scriptures to make sure it's right. Just because a good person is saying something religiously doesn't mean it's truth. It is only truth if it originates and harmonizes with the word of God. And thus, it is our responsibility to examine the truth and to make sure that what we believe and what we practice is according to truth. There are some basic rules that we need to apply when we examine truth. We need to understand that the Bible itself must be studied. In 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman which needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And thus, the word of truth must be handled correctly, handled aright. And thus, it must be studied. And there are rules of interpretation, rules of hermeneutics that are simple, that will help us to examine the truth and get the right conclusions. First of all, we need to understand who is the writer and to whom is the letter addressed. Just because it is in the Bible doesn't mean it applies to everybody. For instance, God told Noah to build an ark. He gave him dimensions of it. He gave him all the instructions regarding the ark. And Noah did all that God commanded him and built the ark. And he saved his house because of his obedience. But God did not command that to you and I. That was commanded to Noah. God was speaking to Noah and gave particular instructions to him. God also spoke to Abraham and told him to offer his son Isaac upon the altar. Abraham obeyed God. He went to Mount Moriah, laid the wood in order, laid his son up on it, was prepared to present him as a sacrifice. And God says, now I know, stayed his hand. But God didn't command you and I to do that. But it's in the Bible. So I need to know who is speaking, to whom he is speaking, and what are the conditions thereof. Throughout the Old Testament, God gave particular people instructions, sometimes individuals and sometimes nations, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. He gave them the Mosaic Law. And that Mosaic Law regulated them for 1,500 years until Christ came and died on the cross. And there are some things to which they had to hear, examine, and obey that are no longer being commanded today, because that old Mosaic Law was nailed to the cross of Christ. And Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament, gave us the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. So every person alive since Pentecost in the year 33 is amenable to the New Testament of Jesus Christ. All of the Bible is inspired of God equally. But the Old Testament was addressed to people before the cross. And the New Testament is addressed to everybody since the cross. So Moses was the mediator of the Old Testament. Jesus is the mediator of the New. So when I read, I need to examine the truth and know who is speaking, to whom he is speaking, and make sure that we rightly divide the word of truth. Also, we need to consider that not only must we examine the truth, but we must also be willing to accept the truth. Sometimes people hear the truth, they examine the truth, and they can draw the lines and see the conclusions of truth. But the next step is, am I willing to accept the truth? To accept the truth is to allow the truth to guide us instead of our biases, instead of our opinions, instead of what we might have been told as we have been reared up. Jesus put it this way in John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said unto those Jews who believed in him, if you shall continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To continue in the word of Jesus is to accept the truth, to accept the conclusions of it, to allow it to direct us in our lives. The truth is from God. The truth is right. It is trustworthy. It is dependable, and when I understand what it teaches, Jesus says, I want you to accept it. Because then and only then can you be my disciple and be made free. The truth will make you free. Free us from sin. Free us from error. See, free us from the commandments and doctrines of men to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The question that we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to accept the truth? Sometimes people argue the truth. They fight against the truth. They try to find fault with the truth because they have embraced something that the truth exposes. And as that seed that was sown by the wayside, the birds came and devoured it. It produced no fruit. because it would not accept truth. The ground was so hard that when the seed just fell on that wayside ground, the birds came and took it away. We must have hearts that are pliable, that are teachable, that's willing to accept the truth. Also, to accept the truth is to be honest with the evidence and only draw conclusions as warranted by the evidence. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, Paul had presented strong evidence that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He would go into the synagogues on a regular basis, and he would reason with them out of the scriptures, alleging that Jesus is Christ. And when those conclusions were seen, it created two different responses. Some people will accept the truth. There were some women there in Thessalonica that accepted the truth, but there were some others who became angry. And they created a riot, an uproar, and they ran Paul out of town. Paul went to the next city, which was Berea. And in Acts 17:11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You and I will fall in one or two categories. We hear the truth and put a wall up of rejection, or we will examine the truth, accept what it teaches, because when we see that it's the word of God, we have noble hearts. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness of mind, and they search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We don't determine whether those things are so based on how we feel, based upon what our ancestors believe, but based upon whether the truth validates and verifies. We accept the conclusions of the evidence. And wherever the evidence leads us, that's the conclusion we'll accept. We can't have foregone conclusions before we consider the evidence. Well, I just believe this. And they look at the Bible. I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe. Well, that's having a closed mind. An open mind says, is God's word. And I'm open to be taught. That doesn't mean we have blinders on. It means that truth is not intimidated by investigation. Whatever we believe, we'll put on the table and examine it by truth. And we'll only accept what is proven to be truth. And anything that's not proven by Bible will be vacated, abandoned. Why? It's not truth. It won't stand. Might feel good about it, might be familiar with it, but if it's not according to truth, we have to accept truth. The people at Thessalonica didn't have that mindset. They couldn't accept anything that they hadn't already believed. They couldn't learn. They couldn't grow. They couldn't be changed. But in Berea, they were noble. They searched the scriptures. They received what they taught. And they accepted the conclusions based upon the word of God. And then, of course, we need to recognize that the scripture is the word of God. It's the standard. It's not just a book of suggestions and good ideas. It's the word of God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and the verse is 13. Paul said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What are you saying, Paul? These individuals were willing to accept the Word of God as the Word of God. Yes, it was preached by men. It was preached by the apostles. But they didn't say, this is the Word of men. They recognized it as the Word of God. Because these men were directed and led by the Holy Spirit of God. That when they spoke and when they wrote, God was telling them what to say and what to write. And when we read the scriptures today, we need to receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And it will work in us if we believe it. The second type of soil from Matthew 13 was the stony ground. That word was sown in that stony ground. And because it had no depthness of earth, that seed would germinate, it sprung up very quickly. But as soon as the sun was up, it was scorched and it withered away, and it brought forth no fruit. Some people hear truth, examine truth, will accept what truth teaches, but they're shallow in their faith, that there are just some things they can't accept. And somebody come to them with just a very thought against the truth they've embraced, and they fall away. Sometimes they get baptized and you never see them again. Sometimes they will tarry for a short period of time, and then someone will say something, family member, some relationship of the past, and without much depthness of earth, they just come and go. But then the fourth ground was the thorny ground. And on this ground, the seed was sown, it germinated, it was growing, but it was not cared for and cultivated. And the thorns grew up with it. And it choked out the word, and it became unproductive. It was the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. And sometimes people will come into the church, but they never remove the thorns and the thistles. They have too many irons in the fire. They are involved in this and involved in that. And some of those things might be innocent in themselves, but they can be so time consuming to the point that we have no time to study. We devote very little time to worship and exercising Christian principles. And those other things of life choke out the word. And then over years, those people become unproductive. Same word, it is the preparation of the heart. That fourth ground was the good ground. It had been cultivated, stones removed, thistles and all of that removed. It produced a crop, and that it brought forth an increase, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Why? It was cared for. It was maintained. It accepted the conclusions of truth, and it stuck with truth. The truth must be loved and respected for it to have the desired effect. Now, when we speak about accepting the truth, dishonest people will argue, will fight against the truth even when they see it. And so Jesus made it clear that when it comes to truth, we have to accept that. There were some people back in Matthew 13 that Jesus has spoken about that did not have the proper regard for truth. And he mentioned that there were so many people who didn't hear it, didn't know it, and would have loved to have heard it. But there are some who hear it and don't have respect, have the proper respect for it. So he gives the parable of the sower. And he says there are four types of sowers, and you and I would be one of the four. But you know what we can do? Good ground can be created. We don't have to be the wayside sower. We don't have to be the stony ground. We don't have to be the thorny ground. All of us can be good ground because it can be prepared. And the Lord tells us just how to do it. And so the truth must be accepted. But then here is the next step. Once I say, I know it's truth, I know it's right, I accept the conclusions of it. Now, am I willing to obey the truth? Am I willing to obey the truth? Now, to obey the truth means I must do a doer of the word. In James 1, 22 beginning, James says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. It's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to believe it. It's not enough to accept what it teaches. I have to obey. I have to move. And I have to do what it requires of me to do. I must be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. In other words, Jesus will save those who will obey him. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. Obedience, it's when we decide that we're going to follow Jesus Christ with our whole heart. Well, that means we have to believe the word of God. We must repent of our sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and be baptized to have our sins washed away. We become a follower of Jesus Christ. The question for you and I, are we willing to continue in the truth? Obey it, live by it, so that when Jesus comes, we'll hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so you and I must remain faithful to truth and never give up, never give in, never give out, but remain faithful all the way unto the end. What does it mean to be faithful? To attend all assemblies of the worship services and Bible studies. To live and practice what Christianity teaches in our homes, in the community, in our workplaces. To evangelize, to reach out to those who are lost and share that good news of Christ with them as well. To be faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and 10. For none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you might be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life. Creating a love for the truth. David said, oh, how I love thy commandments. It is my meditation all the day. You and I can love the word of God when we hear it, we examine it, we submit to it, obey it, and be faithful to the truth until we call from labor to reward. Thank you so much for your kind attention.